بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين وقال تعالى ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قتل دون نفسه فهو شهيد ومن قتل دون ماله فهو شهيد ومن قتل دون عرضه فهو شهيد أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Let us all recite Durood Sharif اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد علماء الكرام respected elders and dear brothers today this Friday the 7th day of Rajab and the 15th day of March 2019 will go down in the history of the Muslim Ummah as one of the dark days of this Ummah. It is not only just a dark day for the Muslim community of New Zealand, but it is a dark day for the whole Ummah around the world. And I'm sure by now all of us are up to date with the latest news, the news that has come in about the very cowardly, cruel, barbaric, inhuman terrorist act. It was a terrorist action. It was a terrorist attack. Nothing but a terrorist attack on innocent Muslims. Brothers, sisters and children who had gone to Jummah Salah and whilst they were in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dastardly, cowardly, terrorist act was carried out on them as a result of which, according to the latest information and maybe more, what we heard just before Jummah, up to 49 people were made shaheed. And the figure is going higher. And many more were injured. Allahu Akbar. Let us imagine the scenario, my dear friends. It is a Muslim community. People are going for Jummah Salah. They're ordinary Muslim people, brothers, sisters and children. Proceed for the Jummah Salah. They came to carry out the act of Ibadah. They came to fulfill the hukam and command of Allah on Yawmul Jum'ah. And they are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when this calculated, premeditated act of terrorism was carried out. An act that was planned over a period of time and which was perpetrated to create maximum terror and fear. It was camcorded, recorded, and posted around the world on the social media. My dear friends, we can imagine what must have happened. The blood all over the masjid. Blood was flowing. We could say like a river in the masjid. People were on the ground, some like in a state of sajda, whilst the bullets were slicing through their bodies. Not only men, but even the sisters who had come for the Jummah Salah were not spared. and children also were not spared. Allah Akbar. Indeed, it is a pain in the hearts of the whole ummah. If we have got some iota of iman in our hearts, we will experience the pain, though we are separated by thousands of kilometers. They may be in one end of the world, we are in another end of the world, but we feel the same pain that the people of New Zealand feel, the families of those marhums, those shuhada, those martyrs, the pain that their families feel, we feel the same pain. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran first of all, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. This ummat is a singular ummat. It's a one ummat. A unitary ummat. A single ummat. A collective ummat. A united ummat. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are brothers. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادُّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ الْوَاحِدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى بَعْضُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the example of the ummah as one body, one single body. When one part of that body experiences pain, the whole body experiences the pain. And the whole body responds to that pain. If the head is paining, the whole body experiences the discomfort and the agony. It is not only the head that will experience the pain while the rest of the body is at ease. The whole body experiences the pain. Whichever part of the world it may be, where the ummah is going through a crisis, where lives have been lost, people have been murdered in cold blood, we all have to feel that pain. If we feel that pain, it is a sign of the health of our iman. And if we don't feel the pain, then that is the example of a dead body cell. It's like a dead cell in the body. A dead cell doesn't experience pain. It is only a live cell that will experience the pain. So my dear friends, whilst we are indeed heartbroken, we are shattered, we are all in extreme grief, we are overwhelmed by sorrow at this tragic incident that happened not in one masjid but in two masjids in New Zealand. As I say, it was a calculated, premeditated, cold-blooded act of murder, of terrorism. It's nothing short of terrorism. The media will try to cover up acts that are perpetrated against Muslims by calling it by other names. Already they're saying it was shooters, this, that, and the other, as if they've reserved the term of terrorism only for Muslims. But if they do things that are 10 times worse, then it is not terrorism. We must not call it anything but terrorism. It is a clear act of terrorism, premeditated and calculated. As this fellow crazy animal was entering that masjid, one Muslim brother confronted him. This is the bravery and courage of a mu'min, even though he was unarmed. But he confronted him, he tried to struggle with him, fisted him, but because he was unarmed, he unfortunately was unable to overpower, and he was shot in cold blood. And so were all the other musallis. My dear friends, at the other masjid, they tried to do the same. They shot a few people, but there were some brothers there who were armed, and they came back and they returned fire and they gave chase, and how this is how these criminals, terrorist criminals, were arrested. Whilst we are heartbroken and shattered, but at the same time, we must remember that they are the lucky and fortunate ones. Allahu Akbar. What good fortune. What good fortune. Can anyone ask for something better and so far as a mort is concerned? Yawmul Jumu'ah. In the state of wuzu. In the house of Allah. Having completed the great act of ibadat of Salatul Jumu'ah. When maghfirat has been made. In this great month of Rajab. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate, my dear friends. What a beautiful and honorable death. What a noble death. What a lofty death. They are the ones Allah honored them. Allah selected and handpicked them. Allah chose them. They were ordinary Muslim brothers like you and I. They also had families. They had probably just left work and come for Jummah Salah. They probably were ready to go back home to have lunch. They were probably going back to their families. They had some plans in the evening to have some get-togethers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected them. Allah chose them. Allah handpicked them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them a very lofty maut of shahadat. Such a maut that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this in the Quran. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءُ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Don't ever say regarding the deceased, those who died as shaheeds and martyrs in the path of Allah. Don't say they are dead. They are not dead. They are alive. Allah gives them a much superior form of life. Physically they are dead. But Allah gives them a very spiritual life, a very high life in the hereafter. They have a superior life. They are alive in the other worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors them with the highest honors. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith sharif, Man qutila duna nafsihi fahuwa shaheed. He who died defending his life, he is a shaheed. Wa man qutila duna naf malihi fahuwa shaheed. The one who passed away defending his wealth and property is a shaheed. Wa man qutila duna irzihi fahuwa shaheed. The one who passed away whilst he was protecting his property and wealth, the one who was protecting his dignity and honor, all of these people are counted as shaheeds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear friends, these are the people who will be raised with honors on the day of Qiyamah. Allah chose for them their moment. Nobody can change the decree of Allah. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When your time is up, that the moment has been decreed, it has been fixed and predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can change that. Nobody can alter that. That is already written in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Ma'uluhul Mahfuz, in the protected tablet. The information has already been penned down. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects a person out of His mercy and grace, death was to come. But what a beautiful end. What a beautiful death. We make dua, Allah grant us all a beautiful death. On iman. In a condition that Allah is pleased with us. In a condition that we are pleased with Allah. In a condition that we have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a condition that we have fulfilled the rights of everyone around us. In a condition that we have achieved tranquility and peace with our Rabb and our Creator. And we are eager and looking forward to meeting Him. That is the kind of end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must grant us. So my dear friends, now this heart-shattering incident and event, which is going to have major repercussions. It can have major repercussions around the world. This event that has occurred, that has happened, what is the way forward? What should be the reaction? What should be the response of the Muslim Ummah? What are we supposed to do at times like this? What is the plan of action? What is our guidance? What is our line that we are to take on occasions like this? So there are some very important points that I wish to make. There are about 10 important points that I wish to make regarding this plan of action that we should be taking on occasion like this. Number one is obviously, this is an occasion for a lot of dua around the world. Vigorous dua. We make dua for the shuhada and the martyrs. We make dua for the injured. We make dua for their family and relatives. There may be so many widows. There may be so many yatims. There may be so many parents who lost their dear ones. We owe it to them to make dua for them, for the deceased, for the martyrs, for their families, for the injured, and for the Muslims of New Zealand in particular. As we are speaking, they are still in a state of lockdown. And there is a state of fear that has gripped everyone, that they don't know who and what's going to happen next. We need to make dua for the hifazat and the safety and protection of the Muslim community of New Zealand particularly, and the Muslim Ummah around the world. This is also an occasion, my dear friends, the second point, that we should reach out to these people. We may not know their names. Get the email addresses of some of the community leaders there and send the emails. Send emails even to the government of New Zealand and express our condolences for the deceased ones, and express our outrage at this act that was perpetrated. To the credit of the president or prime minister of their country, they have condemned this as a terrorist act. This is a sign that they acknowledge. It is a sign that they are not ones who condone or support or endorse these kind of violent acts. Thereafter, we should also engage in acts of isal sawab. Read some portions of Quran. Today is a day of Friday. It's a beautiful day. Take out some time from now till sunset. Read some portions of the Quran with the intention that, Ya Allah, we convey the sawab to the marhums. If around the world, the entire ummah, billion and more, undertake to send the reward to the marhumin, how much of rewards they will receive, what comfort it will give them in the afterlife. So we should all, the third point is make isal sawab for these deceased and these marhum, these shuhada. The fourth point is that we should also give some sadaqah and charity. Whenever tragedies befall us, whenever some calamity or disaster befalls us, we are required to give sadaqah, we are required to give charity. There are many poverty-stricken people around us. Give them something as a sadaqah and charity, thereby drawing and attracting the mercy of Allah and the protection and safety from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And side by side with that, we should also read our hifazat du'as. Don't be negligent in reading our du'as for protection. As it is, we have a serious crime problem. So we should read the du'as for hifazat, morning and evening. Make it a practice. Read our Ayatul Kursi after every Farz Salah. Your person read Ayatul Kursi after every Farz Salah, he will be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he has to pass away between one salah to the next salah, he will be written down as a shaheed and martyr in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the great reward of Ayatul Kursi after every salah, and the benefit that we get out of it in terms of safety and protection. The sixth point is, let us also enhance our security and vigilance around our masjids. Let us not be caught unawares. We should be vigilant. We should be alert to what is going on.
The masjids, places of worship are supposed to be sacred spaces. They are supposed to be places of peace, meditation, tranquility. These places are not being spared. Unfortunately, in our own city of Durban, we had an incident recently where masjid was firebombed. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Places of worship, no matter which faith they belong to, they are not to be touched. They are not to be harmed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding this in the Quran. But I won't want to go into that detail now because the time will run out. So, we should be vigilant. We should be alert to this thing. Sadly, our state of affairs is, we'll fight outside our masjid. We'll brawl and fight with one another, whereas we should be worried about the safety and protecting our brothers and sisters from any form of harm. Allah give us understanding. The sixth point is that we should not overreact to incidents like this. We are not here to play the blame game and blame this one and that one. We are not here. We are Muslims, are supposed to be people of integrity, of justice, of understanding, of wisdom. We're not going to blame Christians for this. We don't blame New Zealand for this. Who is to be blamed? It is the extremists. It is these right-wing elements. It is these people who are fomenting hatred. These are the people of bias, prejudice, racist mentality. These are the people who are perpetrating and who are actually giving air to this kind of mindset. We will never condone a tit-for-tat approach. If our masjid was attacked, it will never ever be allowed in Islam that Muslims go and attack some church or some other place of worship. It is forbidden. It is prohibited. It will never be allowed. One wrong does not allow another wrong. One wrong doesn't become a right. We have to remember that we are governed by the law of Allah. We are governed by the law of Islam. We have the Quran as our guideline. In the time of Sahaba, an incident took place where a particular person was one of the enemies, killed a Muslim, and they chopped the head of the Muslim and they put it on display. It so happened that the Muslims had the opportunity to overpower one of the enemies. They killed him and they chopped his head off and they also put his head on display and they came to the leader of the army and said, "See, they did that to us, we did it to them." The leader of the army told them, "You have done wrong. What you have done is not right. It's not allowed. Islam doesn't allow us to mutilate bodies. If they did wrong, it doesn't give us the license to do wrong. We do not return wrong with wrong. That is not the attitude of Muslims. So therefore, we should not become reactionary. If anyone does anything out of the teachings of Islam, they are to carry the blame individually. It is not because of the teachings of Islam. Also, my dear friends, the eighth point that I wish to make is that we are in anti-racism week. This is the beginning of the anti-racism week. And it gives us a very important lesson to be learned. And that is, whenever there will be racism, racism is that evil monster that gives birth to all these kind of little monsters. This prejudice, bias, and hatred, and violence, these are all the offshoots of racism. Islam condemns racism in every possible way. Go into the teachings of Quran and Sunnah, and we will find there is no condemnation of racism at all. The society of Medina of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a multiracial society. Suhaib Rumi was there from Europe, a European. Salman Farsi was an Asian. Bilal Habshi was an African. The Arabs, the Africans, the Europeans, the Asians, they lived in harmony in the Medina of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the role model that Islam puts forward to the societies of the world. So while it is racism, anti-racism week, we all should focus on this point, and we should make a concerted effort to remove all the vestiges and traces of racism that may exist in our community. May Allah purify our community from all forms of racism. And the last point that I wish to make, and that is, my dear friends, it is a wake-up call. What has happened there is a wake-up call for the Ummah. Get up from our sleep. Get out of our slumber. How long are we going to carry on the way we are? How long are we going to ignore the azan when the muazzin is saying, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, and we're going to miss salah after salah? Look at those people. They have left this world. It's a wake-up call for us. The time has now come when we need to reaffirm our commitment to Islam. We have to say that we're going back to our deen. Let us live up to the teachings of Islam. Let us shun all the things that are un-Islamic. Put our weddings right. For how long are we going to carry on extravagance upon extravagance and wastage upon wastage in wedding functions and other such things? For how long are we going to neglect the teachings of Islam? For how long are our youth going to carry on in the path of recklessness and heedlessness that they have chosen? How long is this going to carry on? How many more wake-up calls do we want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a wake-up call. That wake up, shake up. Put things right. This is not a time for us to be in a state of ghaflat and heedlessness, that we carry on living the way we are and how we have been in the past. These things have come to shake us out of our slumber. We as an ummah around the world have to wake up now. We have to understand and realize what is our responsibility, what is our duty, what is our purpose of creation, why are we here, what is our role as an ummah. We are the ambassadors of Islam. We are to give dawah to the servants of Allah. We are to invite people to Deenul Islam around the world. We give the dawah to enemies. We give the dawah to those who are not enemies. The message has to be conveyed to all and sundry. That's our mission. That is our purpose. We are falling short in the fulfillment of our purpose and objective. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding, hidayat, guidance. Bring us back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Bring us back to the basic and fundamental teachings of Islam. Allah reform our condition. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant those martyrs and shaheeds of New Zealand highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus. Allah make them maghfirat and grant sabr jameel to their families. And Allah give quick recovery to those who are injured. And Allah grant safety and protection to the ummah around the world.